That's really bad.
That is. Back with Doug Christie and Jason Roth.
We're just exchanging stories. So that was your first NBA game as a Laker. Your name was wrong in your jersey.
Yeah, at the 76ers.
Oh, at the Sixers. Okay.
So we're at the Sixers. Go in, get signed, go into the locker room. Oh, there it is.
The jersey.
C-H-R-I-S-I-T-E. Chrisite. What the hell is this, man?
Yeah.
Can you believe that? An old Jason Roth.
Roth.
I was in the OC register.
Yeah, first game in high school that I get called up to varsity. I'm like, yeah, I hit a couple three-pointers, 9 points. I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, I wasn't, you know, but I'm a little role player.
Yeah, you want to
see this in the paper? Open up the paper, got cereal out. I'm like, yeah, let me just look at those 9 points. See how it looks in print. R-O-F-F. I don't think I've ever had my name misspelled, but in the paper the first time, no.
I don't know that I'll ever be able to call you Ross again.
Oh, come on.
No, I don't know what ever happened to that jersey.
But see, that's the collector's item, like the misfit.
Exactly.
You know? It's like, there you go.
Yeah, Chrisite. Thanks.
Chick Hearn didn't call you that, though, right?
No.
He knew his.
You know, I got a interview with Chicky.
Saved somewhere?
No, it's on the internet, so it's saved forever.
Oh, there you go. You don't even need to save it.
Yeah, it's awesome. He was very gracious in his compliments at the same time. I was a rookie, and he was awesome.
Yeah,
he was the man.
Grew up listening to him, watching him, and just,
man, can you imagine? You grew up listening to him.
Yeah,
and
Vin Scully. Yeah.
Oh man, driving in the car down there when we were living there, listening to Vin Scully.
Mm-hmm.
His voice.
Yeah,
it's just like,
story time. Just listening.
It's like silk, man. Yep. And then you're listening, and the guy's up to bat, and he's. When he was in the seventh grade, and I'm thinking, where did that come from?
But you're just getting lost in the story, and you're like, you don't even forget about, oh, yeah, and there's a double off the wall. And then in that, his anatomy teacher, you know, you're like, wait, what? Yeah, back to the, I don't care about the game, tell me some more.
Oh, man, he was just.
As good as it gets.
As good as it gets, no doubt. Silky, smooth. L.A., spoiled people down there.
Yeah, they had some good stuff there.
I would say so.
I know Grant would tell stories too of the Celtics legendary guy Johnny Most.
And Johnny Most,
just a different kind of voice.
That despicable display.
And just a different time though. He's sitting there smoking in the booth, and or not, you know, on the court. Just like smoke is rising from the court because he's smoking. I mean, and you could, and people are smoking in the arena. It's just a different time.
Yeah, it totally. In Auerbach. Lighting up the stogie.
Yeah, the victory cigar.
No doubt.
What would you do if you, I guess if you had $2.2 billion and you bought a team today, like Tillman Fertitta did?
Well, I'd be broke if I only had $2.2 billion.
Yeah, it's all gone, right?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Well, that's what the purchase price was today for the Houston Rockets. Les Alexander agreed to sell the team a little while ago. Now $2.2 billion. Everything goes up, right? But at some point, Doug.
Oh, ceiling?
I mean, you know, TV deals was a crazy one, but there's already speculation that the next one won't be quite as much. Because
guaranteed.
And so then, you know, cap, it's going to go up every year. Well, maybe not so much. So, I mean, at some point, you know, you can't have tickets for all these games being $300 for just any seat. I mean, we the bubble's got to burst.
I would say that has to be right about, I mean, because you think the Clippers – $2 billion?
$2 billion. The Kings long before that, and the Bucks not long before that were in the, you know, $500-600 million range.
Okay. So that's where you make your cheese at right there. $500-600 million. Because if Houston's a big place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Texas,
huge
but
city.
It's not LA.
No.
And LA, $2 billion. So you're telling me $200 million more in Houston?
Yeah.
Man, I just don't see a ceiling up past that. Like, how long are you going to have to own that to get $3 billion?
Right. Yeah, because if
$4 billion.
Minnesota was available now, it's not going for $2.3.
No, it is not.
You know, but if the Knicks were available.
Oh, my goodness.
Or the Lakers were available.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I would say that the markets like Sacramento, Milwaukee, Utah, these ones that were $500 to $700 million, probably assessed it. $1.5 billion, mm-hmm. You know, under two, but
yeah,
you've made some.
Keep going up, man.
Dang, couldn't let a brother in on that one.
Hey, you were still in at a good time, but even now it's like these contracts, like what we're talking about with Embiid, man.
But see, when we talk about that and you talk about the ability to raise that, meaning go past that $2 billion mark, what's going to have to happen for all that? You know, you talk about TV deals. You talk about people having the ability to stream and find ways to get the product outside of your typical way mm-hmm. to get it where you pay and I reap the benefits of that. That's where I think the bubble bursts a little bit. And the fact that ESPN and some of the partners of the NBA has begun to lay off people because of the big TV deal that was signed, I think speaks to the fact that, you know, maybe we need to reel back a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like,
oh, it's not going to be, you know, 800 million, you know,
right.
It'll still be big teams will get big money.
Exactly. So with that being said, that means that, okay, we're going to be here for a little bit.
Yeah.
And probably that $2.2 billion, I don't know, 10 years from now, maybe 2.7. I don't know. It depends if we find another revenue stream to be able to get the product of this great product to the masses.
And in general, owners do just quite well. It's not like they always lose a bunch of money, but man, there's people out there that are interested that want to get in the NBA. And I think the NBA is in a really good time where football may be losing maybe just a little bit of popularity, maybe not, but baseball has. Basketball has gained so much momentum. There's a lot of stars.
Yep.
I know there's one dominant team, but I think a lot of people are jumping on the basketball bandwagon.
And soccer, Chris Verlade is on the upswing. Maybe not.
He's upset in there.
You upset, shootout. Man? Don't be mad.
Not mad.
He's not mad.
You know, you end with a shootout. You don't end with a tie, Chris Verlade.
Just change everything just for you?
Not a fan of the shootout? Or not a fan of the tie, I mean? I'm not.
I mean, we've played all this time.
Yeah.
Since we played all this time, can't we come to a resolution?
You want something resolved.
Yeah, let's.
That makes some sense.
What do you mean it's resolved?
We got a tie.
It's a tie.
Who won?
Tell all my Seahawk fans about that, huh? Come on, Chris. You don't end in a tie, man.
Yeah, you do.
They do.
I know they do.
Yeah.
They should not.
Oh.
You want to put it on the golden foot of Messi. Ronaldo.
What about football?
I hate that, too.
That's what I mean. This year, the Seahawks and Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. So if that ended with a field goal kicking contest? Do you feel happy about that?
Why you got to go there, man?
Well, that's what a shootout's like.
He's got a point. You know what? I would feel better than walking away with a tie. Let me say that.
You would feel okay losing by the other team's field goal kicker than to end in a tie.
Yeah, I want a resolution. I want to walk away knowing that I've lost or that I've won.
Why not just flip a coin at the end of the game?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Well, you know what? Why not just flip a coin at the beginning of the game, Chris, and then we never play? Come on, Verlade, you're better than that.
I like I want a modified version of the college football overtime. Ball's at the 25. Okay, you're pros. You're a little bit better. We got kickers that can kick farther. I don't know, put it at the 35. Put it at the 40. Each team gets a possession. And we keep going until we have a winner.
See, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. See that, Chris? But you don't want the guys to run up and down the field for an extra 5 minutes. Is that what you're telling me?
No, it's just that's how it ends.
No. God.
Maybe we shrink the soccer field, and then they play a certain amount of time to get a goal.
See?
What?
I don't know.
See, no, at least we're thinking over here. You're just satisfied with what they give you.
How about at the end of 2 hours, you're done with the game?
No. That is, why even
which
play?
Which game? Soccer or NFL? Or
definitely
anything?
Not NFL.
You know what? I feel like I just went to practice. That's what just happened. I just went to practice. We're talking about practice.
As the texter says, that Seahawk game and Cardinal game did basically end in a kicking battle, and they both choked and missed.
Yes, they did. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
But we could have kept going until someone choked more than the next one.
That's true.
I'd need a win.
You want some resolution.
And a loss.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
In soccer, at least it's been in the sport. It is what they do. Hockey, it's been that way. For football, they're trying to get a resolution. They try to avoid this, but then they still get there. And I just, in this day and age, I don't think we need ties in the NFL.
Yeah, I just, look, if you've played this long, you've went through it, even if it's, I like your point to college. Mm-hmm. So college starting at the 25?
Yep.
Started at the 45 or at the 40. So you don't
get a first down, you can try a long field goal. That's fine. You're getting some points.
Right. Unless you got a rugby player that plays with the All Blacks.
Yeah.
You don't got a guy who can kick it this far.
Yeah. I watched last night was Tennessee and Georgia Tech. Fun game. Went overtime. And actually at the end, Georgia Tech decided to go for two because they didn't want to keep playing overtime.
Yes.
It didn't work, but I liked the call. They went for it. Didn't happen. All right, we had a resolution. We had a winner. Tennessee won.
Yes. Damian, I'm sure, is happy about that.
A couple overtimes, but
we
that was good.
We didn't. We'll bring that up with him tomorrow.
We definitely will.
But that would be I could totally work with that. You get a possession here, a possession there. If you choose to go for two and put an extra point on the board, great. If you don't, that's great. If you want to kick the field goal, however you want to score after each possession, if it's still tied up, you keep going. If it's not, there's a winner at least.
Yeah, and I don't like that it's different literally in the playoffs. Well, why? Well, because we have to have a winner to advance. We'll play it that way in the regular season then.
See?
Yeah.
You hearing this, Chris? You write, take notes, write this down, and, you know, fax or text or whatever your guys, over
fax
there.
Fax it.
Yeah, fax it. Old school. Matter of fact, send a bird. Send a crow.
Yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, text line 44-1140. Have you had a chance to talk to Stanley yet? You know, the Stanley, Grant and Stanley?
You know, I hear from – no way. He can't come on without Grant here.
Well, it's a Giants and Cowboys week.
Oh, God. Yeah. Grant is just going to be disgusted if Stanley calls in here and tries to get on air without him being around. Oh, my goodness.
Guess who's here?
No way.
What's up, Stanley?
Stanley, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you taped this, Verlot.
We'll play it back for Grant when he's back next week.
Well, I hate to bag on Mr. Christie there because he's a Kings player, and I like the Kings players. But, you know, every once in a while, Doug does try to get out of line.
Uh-oh, what'd he do now?
I just want him to know, look, I'm not going to bag it on you so much because all these Giants fans, they're going to get what's coming to them. But I want
and what's
you to know,
that, Stanley?
Doug,
what's coming to them, Stanley?
That butt kicking. Same thing going to happen to them. Just like if you and I'm just letting you know ahead of time, Mr. Chris.
Yes, sir. What is it?
You start all of that stuff you sometimes do, and I want you to know I got Nick Van Exel's phone number, and I got him on speed dial.
What does that mean?
You know what it means.
That don't mean
you
anything.
Know what it means, Doug.
Nick was not quick against me, Stanley. You got it. Don't get it messed up. Don't get it confused, Stanley. Don't get it confused. We bounced the Dallas Mavericks out of the playoffs every time they saw us.
Well, Doug.
Well, hell, Stanley.
All I know is this.
What's up, buddy?
If you get in Nick Van Exel's space, I know what's going to happen to you. I wouldn't even need Danny Fortson to come deal with you.
Danny Fortson? Where did you get
he
that
loves
name
Danny
out?
Danny Fortson.
I like Oakley, Danny Fortson. I like those are my type of guys. I get down with those.
Yeah,
because he sets a quality pick. But that doesn't mean Danny. What do you mean? I'm right in Danny Fortson's face. Man, you got me confused, Stanley.
You wouldn't be in there for long.
What does that mean, Stanley? What are you trying to say, Stanley?
What I'm trying to say is, Doug, you better straighten up and fly right. If you get in the face of Danny Fortson or Nick, I won't even go to
Nick Van Exel.
I've got Nick Van Exel.
Man,
Nick the quick.
Hey,
Nick the
look
quick.
At look it up. He wasn't too quick when he was playing against us. He might have scored some points, but guess what? He got at the end of the day the same thing that your Cowboys is going to get, an L, Stanley, a big fat L. And you better not see them Seahawks, because you see them Seahawks, Stanley, it's all over for you, baby.
I just want you to understand one thing.
What that is.
When Grant come over here and take his butt kicking like a man, I want you to stand right alongside him, and you get some of it, too.
Listen, how you going to talk all this trash? And last year, you guys was 0-2 against the Giants.
That is not trash, bro. When it's facts, it's facts. No brag, just facts.
Oh, come on, man. You ain't talking no facts, man. You guys are in trouble. Hey, man, what's up with Ezekiel Elliott, man? Is he going to play? You got some inside information?
That's another thing. You got these gold diggers out here trying to come up here and trump up charges and Goodell. I think he's trying to get some of the payroll money from if she get a lawsuit, you know.
Oh, Stanley, you too much, man. You too much. Listen.
I will tell you right now, whether they have Ezekiel in there or Zeke, as we call him, if they have him in the game,
oh,
fine.
you in with him real
close.
Tight. You real tight with him. You call him Zeke, huh?
Yeah.
Get the hell
I'm not
out.
Type of Zeke, but you know what? I don't need to be because we got enough to kick the Giants behind as it is.
Hey, you might beat the Giants, but we'll be waiting for you. We in the NFC, baby.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
How about that?
I was not going to do nothing. And by the way, But since you're up there from around that area, the best thing that you all had going was the Rain Man, Sean Kemp.
Hey, there's no problem with that. Rain Man, GP, now, Jack
yeah,
Sigma.
You could
Ellis.
You could throw that thing down. And by the way, Doug, I was happening to be looking at some old NBA video on the computer the other day.
You got a computer?
I still marvel at what the Rain Man did to Alton Lister. I hope you saw that video.
That was pretty nasty.
That was nasty.
Yeah, and the one that he did against the kid Gatlin.
Oh,
when
yeah,
he dunked
Chris
on him
Gatlin.
And then pointed at him.
Gatlin. Oh, yeah. Ooh.
You know what
Chris
we need,
Gatlin.
Stanley?
Chris Gatlin.
Hey, Stanley, you know what we need? You and Doug to hang out on Christmas Eve, Seattle at Dallas.
Oh, it's a wrap, Stanley.
Yes, I want Doug to call.
You
right
call in, Stanley.
Face.
It's a wrap, baby. We're going to spank that bootay.
I know one thing. Santa going to say you've been a bad boy, and you don't going to get any Christmas gifts. I know that.
You wilding out, Stanley.
There you go, Stanley.
The nerve of Stanley to call in without
He went after you. Grant's not here, so he went after you.
Hey, I can defend myself. Nick Van Exel. Danny Fortson. But that he must be Stanley is related to Danny Fortson.
Yeah,
because I haven't heard Danny's name in quite some time.
His list is Danny Fortson, Nick Van Exel, usually Barry Bonds.
I'm a Barry Bonds guy.
Yeah, that's his group.
In Miami.
Didn't he do the also, Hurricanes? He loves Bob Huggins.
I like Bob Huggins.
But he's
too,
wanted
actually.
Him to coach the Kings about 10 different times and bring on Van Exel and Fortson when they were playing as players. Now as like assistants.
Danny needs to look that up. Nick went for a couple games against us.
Oh,
but,
Nick
but,
had some. He could
but,
drop
oh, yeah.
some buckets.
He dropped some buckets. I was with Nick in L.A. when he was a rookie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. Nick. That's how he got the nickname Stanley. I was there when they got it. Stanley, what you know about that? Nick the Quick.
Eddie Jones there, too?
No, he came
after that?
2 years
after,
or one
Sedale
year after
Threat?
That. Sedale Threat, yeah.
He was there?
Oh, yes. Sedale was there with Vlade and myself.
Okay.
Yeah, he was actually there when I got traded. Sedale dropped the ball into Vlade on the left block, fake like he's going across the middle. Vlade, little handoff. Sedale leaning to the left like he does. Yeah, with the jumper.
Were you with Worthy at all?
Yeah, as a rookie. And
Game
I was
James?
Just star freaking struck.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, my God, that's James Worthy. I watched James in practice one day. He came up on he was driving right, so he goes right baseline. He palmed, because you know he has huge hands. So he palms the ball. He goes up, and then he ducks underneath the basket, and he finger rolls it backwards.
Like a backwards finger
like
roll?
Like a backwards finger
what?
Roll. Dropped in, and I just went, oh, my God, man. This is James Worthy. Oh, yeah. And James is a good guy, man.
Who else was on there? Sam Perkins still there? Or
no? No, I got traded for Sam.
Okay.
That's how that worked. Sam and what's the big fella? Did he go to Creighton? I can't think of his name. I played with him twice. But it was James, Eldon Campbell, Tony
Benoit
Smith,
Benjamin?
Benoit Benjamin.
Okay.
Yeah, that's who he and I got traded for
gotcha.
Sam. Byron Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Vitti, the trainer.
Yeah.
So it was all.
Wait,
was
who are you fighting minutes for then with? Like, so Byron Scott, Sedale Threat.
I wasn't fighting for no minutes, man.
Yeah.
I could play then.
I'm
giving
but
you
But who
bad
were the
time.
Guards? Yeah.
It was Sedale and Byron, and then they were bringing in me and Anthony Peeler.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They allowed me to play point guard.
Okay.
And, you know, it was just
Chris
kind of.
Doug Chrisite was playing point guard.
That just spelled disaster right away. That's okay. I made up for it once I got here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That worked out.
She damn right it did.
Texter saying, Doug, handle Stanley the same way you handled Rick Fox.
Yeah. Put them thangs on him. Stanley, watch out.
This is a good point. I mean, this is where Stanley loves Cincinnati Bearcats. So that's Huggins and Van Exel and Fortson. And-
yeah. Well, he do the math, Stanley. Yeah. He may have 40 with an L.
Yeah.
A big fat L.
Someone saying, hey, don't make me call Mark Madsen. All right.
Oh, come on, man. All we got to do is make him dance.
Yes, that's right. Dance at a parade. He'll do that. 339-1140. You never know where you're going to go with Stanley.
No doubt.
1-800-920-1140. Text line 44-1140. Do you want to remind you coming up some more NFL discussion with NFL writer from the National Post, Dion Caputi, will be joining us here at 5:30 as it's a big week. NFL is starting this week. If you missed the news off the top of the day, still waiting on Ezekiel Elliott to find out officially what's going to go on there, or Zeke, if you're close to him like Stanley is. Also, Tampa Bay and Miami, game one it's not happening in Miami. There's some talk about moving it to later in the season, or the NFL is looking at a couple other opportunities of maybe playing it at a neutral location because of Hurricane Irma. And let's hope that's not as bad as what the initial reports are, because it looks like it's pretty nasty.
Well, I mean, just once those storms get going, this is, you know, hurricane season. I mean, they boarding windows up, a lot of different things. It's the whole Gulf and eastern, southeastern part of the United States. It is tough right now, man.
It looks like this is just coming in from Chris Mortensen. Ezekiel Elliott's 6-game suspension has been upheld by Harold Henderson. That's per a source. So we'll see if there's more.
A source?
Yeah, to that. As Mortensen would be a source, obviously.
Yeah, he would.
We'll see what else we can find out about that. We'll also check in with that and more about the NFL with Dion Caputi, national writer for the NFL National Post. He will join us next right here on KHDK. Jason Ross, Doug Christie, continuing here on the Grant and Doug Show. As Grant is off this week, we take you till 6:45. Then it's A's baseball, A's and the Angels. A's will try to stop a 7-game losing streak. It is the start of the NFL. This time next week, everybody will have completed week one action, including the 49ers. They open up at home against Carolina. You got the Raiders at Tennessee. That game can be heard right here Sunday on KHDK. In a few moments, we are going to be checking in with the NFL writer for the National Post. That's Dion Caputi. In fact, let's do it right now as we welcome in Dion along with me, Jason Ross, and Doug Christie. Dion, how are you?
Not too bad, gentlemen. How's it going on your end?
Great. We want to start with the news. Jay just kind of brought it up over the sports update there that we're hearing about Ezekiel Elliott, the suspension being upheld apparently by Harold Henderson. Where do we go now? I mean, that's what the league was looking at. That's what he says. Where is it as simple as that's what's going to happen, or do you think Ezekiel has another move?
Well, we go right off Twitter and right into court, basically. So we've got some legal precedent here set in the Tom Brady case. The NFLPA is taking the NFL to task over a suspension. It's levied on one of its members. So I think all told here, if we're basing it on the precedent set in the Tom Brady case, it's not going to be looking good, very good, for the NFLPA and Ezekiel Elliott's case. 6 games is quite lofty. I'm not really sure where we go from here, but as far as appealing by the NFLPA through the court route, I think what it comes down to either is 6 games or no games whatsoever. And I think it's looking quite likely based on this latest report that just came out that it's going to be 6 games for Ezekiel Elliott.
Dion, give me the over-under and tell me what's your thought process going forward. Over-under on those 6 games that the Cowboys will have. What will their record be? And then also, what is their outlook without him?
Well, the outlook is that they're missing a very, very competent running back. But ultimately, this is a very meaningless position by more and more people evaluating the position nowadays. It's not a position with great value, and while an impactful, influential running back like Zeke can win you games single-handedly in some cases, I think most teams feel comfortable in that they feel they can cope without a running back, whether it's someone of Adrian Peterson's caliber even. But you look at their first few games here, they have a week 6 bye, so you look at their first games, they got the Giants at home, they got Denver, Arizona, Green Bay week 5, and they're playing a lot of tough games here. And I think if they probably split 3-3 here, I think that would be a safe assumption here at this point that 3 games is the absolute bare minimum they need to win here. They should be able to beat San Francisco. They should be able to beat Los Angeles. And I give them a great chance against both New York and Denver and Green Bay as well, too. So we'll see what happens. I think ultimately losing Zeke is not going to be helpful to their season, but ultimately Dak needs to perform, and the season ultimately rests on his shoulders, not Zeke's legs.
Yeah, and Dion, the other part, like you said earlier, if this is going to court, these may not be the 6 games. If Tom Brady's the precedence, I mean, that took a year really to establish. Is this thing going to go on for a while, or do you think it has a quicker decision on this?
Absolutely, and I think it's very possible that it could. And ultimately, the deciding factor is what it's going to come down to is when we see week one and whether or not a decision's been made. Now, this appeal process by Harold Henderson was part of the process. Now we go to court, and there really is no telling when the decision's levied at that point. So I would love to give you a timeline. There's really no telling at this point. This is very fresh news, and we just sort of have to sit back and enjoy the ride as neutrals, see what happens. Because, again, we're talking about legal precedent here, and in future matters similar to this, we'll see if maybe the Tom Brady case will have sped up this process, and maybe a decision will be levied a little bit sooner, hopefully.
Deion, staying in the NFC, but going to the South, NFC South is a quarterback's paradise down there. One in particular on Hard Knocks, Jameis Winston. What do you think the outlook of him? Maybe a lot of new toys. What's the outlook for him this year in the Bucs?
Yeah, I know. And the Bucs kind of loaded up offensively. They've been building around him since selecting him. Mike Evans has really come into his own as an influential number one receiver. DeSean Jackson, still despite his age, gives them that vertical threat. They've loaded up with O.J. Howard and a potentially elite pass-catching tight end in the draft. I love his potential in the passing game. The O-line is solid enough. I think it's going to be an interesting situation in the backfield between Doug Martin, Charles Sims, which one of the two can really take hold there. I think Charles Sims is going to be more of a third-down receiver out of the backfield and blocker. So I think they've got a good balance. They're going to continue building around him. I think that's a very good situation. Tampa's, a lot of people's pick to be a bit of a wild card out of the NFC South this year, despite the fact that you got the Super Bowl runner-up Atlanta Falcons in that division as well, too. And to be quite honest with you, I think that's a four-team division. All four teams will be competing for the division title. Falcons obviously coming off a great season despite the Super Bowl loss. The Carolina Panthers have loaded up offensively. Cam Newton can only improve upon last season. We've talked about the Bucs, and finally, Drew Brees is probably entering what could be his last or second last season, and the Saints are doing well to sort of give him a bit of an opportunity to do something with what they've added offensively with the small window they have remaining in his career. So I think that's a truly deep division, maybe the best in football this year, and I'm really excited to see who emerges there.
You mentioned the Falcons there, Deion. Only two teams have followed Super Bowl losses with Super Bowl wins, 71 Cowboys, 72 Dolphins. Do you think the Falcons have what it takes, even though they miss Shanahan now?
Yeah, and you know, history is what it is, and I think there's something to be said about it. In this case, it's a pretty wide-open NFC field, so there's really no New England Patriots to sort of roadblock a team like the Falcons in the NFC. They are kind of that team in that sense. So ultimately, it took a pretty virtuoso career year from Matt Ryan, almost an MVP caliber season, in order for them to sort of get to the Super Bowl last year. I think it's going to take a very similar performance from him. He's sort of reached that upper tier now, that elite status, and he really needs to remain there in order for the Falcons to sort of get back to where they were last year. Devontae Freeman's back, Tevin Coleman's back, a good running back tandem there. You obviously have Julio Jones, Mo Sanu is there as well. So they got a lot of options. I like the Falcons' offense quite a bit, despite the loss of Kyle Shanahan. But, you know, when you lose a play caller, and especially one as good as Shanahan was, I'm curious to see how they come out the gate offensively here.
Deion Caputi with us, NFL writer for the National Post. Deion, we were talking about Tampa a little bit ago. They're scheduled to play Miami week one here. We've already been reporting that game's not going to happen in Miami. They could move it later when both teams have their bye. They could move it to a different location. What do you think is the best end result here for kind of the NFL to decide on this game?
Well, making the decision they made is safest for all involved, obviously. And more importantly, this gives them some time now they've bought in order to make a proper decision. I'm curious to see where this game could ultimately be played. You've seen so many collegiate games now be played in the new Atlanta Falcons stadium. I'm thinking that wouldn't be the most awful situation in the world if maybe the two teams moved up to Georgia and played it there. But I'm totally spitballing here, so... again, ultimately, we want to see how Irma plays out before we sort of make some decisions here on where the game will ultimately be played. But in the interim, I think it was the right decision by the league to put the game off for now and just sort of buy some time to see when and where the best option for the game would be.
Deion, up in this area, obviously, you got a lot of Raiders fans. Carr coming back off of a broke leg. This week they're facing the Titans. Oddly enough, both quarterbacks coming off broke legs. What is your outlook on the Raiders and what they might be able to do? Obviously, the offense is solid. Defensively, there's some lack there.
Yeah, you know, the offense is fantastic on paper, especially. You've got Amari Cooper returning, Derek Carr, fantastic young quarterback, gunslinger. You're going to put up numbers offensively in Oakland. But what I'm really curious about is that sort of tumultuous sort of type of run D that the Oakland Raiders might be fielding next year. The linebacking core leaves a lot to be desired, and I think there wasn't sort of enough of an effort by Reggie McKenzie to address that. Ultimately, linebackers hold very minimal positional value, and I think the team and organization probably feels comfortable and set in the fact that they can move forward and progress, allowing someone to emerge on the roster. But that's the real question here. Secondary-wise, I think there's a lot to be desired as well, too. Sean Smith has sort of backed off. He's no longer an influential player there. They've missed sort of a big matchup corner, and they're going to be expecting quite a bit from Gary and Conley, their first-round pick this year. And I think it's safe to say that he and last year's first-round pick, Carl Joseph, would potentially form a nice core in that secondary here, but there's a lot more that's needed on that defense. And we'll see what happens. Ultimately, it's going to be an interesting season for the Raiders. I hope that their lack of effort on defense hasn't really hampered them going into this year, because they definitely want to deliver for the city of Oakland before they make that move to Vegas.
Dion, across the Bay, it's been a tough couple of years, obviously, for the 49ers. They're trying to reboot it. New head coach, new front office a little bit there. They got a long way to go, but what do you think about what the 49ers could look like this upcoming season?
Well, I'm just surprised, going back to the beginning of the offseason, that John Lynch, with absolutely no experience to speak of whatsoever in an executive role, has managed to put together such a stable, organized, structured offseason. And I think it starts at the top, and the 49ers are going to the season with little to no expectations. They've got a pretty tough schedule on hand as well, too. And I think the fact that they've tempered expectation entering the season will allow for a bit of a smooth transition here. They're retooling, reloading. So we're looking 2018. We're looking to 2019 with this roster, and they added a lot of talent. And I think we're waiting to see a lot of pieces on that offense emerge now. And they've built a good structure defensively for the future. I love Reuben Foster. I thought he was a potentially elite linebacker coming out of the draft, faded on quite a bit. And I think that along with Solomon Thomas, they've added two key pieces that will start day one for them defensively. I'm intrigued by what the 49ers can potentially do this year. They don't need to win games. They just need to perform well, hang in there against good teams, and just compete. And I think when you enter a season with expectations that limited, I think you're bound to be happy by the end of the season.
Dion, in week one, starting with Chiefs and Patriots, a lot of good matchups. Got to get your take, though, on my Seahawks going to the Packers. Didn't address a lot of the offensive line. What's your outlook for the Seahawks?
My outlook for the Seahawks is I think they're a definite contender in the NFC, like we were talking about earlier with the Falcons. It's a pretty wide-open field in the NFC. The Seahawks are probably only going to be challenged by the Cardinals within the NFC West, so I would say they're still my favorite despite that. And ultimately, when we look at that game, it's a really strong early season test, especially going on the road there. I'm very curious to see how both defenses perform in that game. Ultimately, those are two very good offenses. The Seahawks just recently added Sheldon Richardson, too. That's a really big pickup at this stage of the game. We just want to see how quickly he can acclimate within that defensive structure, but he's not going to be asked to do too much. And in a contract year, I think he's a potentially explosive asset here. So the Seahawks are well-equipped. They're well set to make another run in the NFC this year. Ultimately, it comes down to just how well can Russell Wilson be protected. And obviously, despite the fact that we don't have really much of a running back that can really be leaned on in Seattle, I'm curious to see if Eddie Lacy can be that sort of bell cow and just sort of tote the rock 20, 25 times a game with consistency. So I think the Seahawks are a team that's very good with potential to be great this year, and I'm very excited to see how they come out the gate week one against the Packers in Lambeau.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week. I'm glad football's here. Dion, thank you so much for the time, and we will hopefully talk to you on the line soon.
Absolutely, boys. Talk soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Dion Caputi, national writer for the NFL. You like that. You like the love for the Seahawks.
I was just waiting for Chris to give me the rebel yell. More, more, more.
That is one of the best games of week one for sure. There's much more on Ezekiel Elliott. Where will this go next? Well, if there's anything to say from his attorney statement, we got a long way to go. We'll tell you what his attorney said. That is next on KHDK. that get better and better. Like they tease you, and this is Ezekiel Elliott stories. It's getting juicy.
NFL versions of Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
power.
Oh my goodness! Okay. So we went to break. We had heard, and we just talked to Dion Caputi, NFL writer for National Post, about what's going on with Ezekiel Elliott. The Harold Henderson basically upheld the suspension. That's the facts at this moment. 6-game suspension is out there. The two wrinkles here that are interesting, Doug. One, remember the NFL had this 4 p.m. rule that was out there. It had to exist. They said it was not really a big deal.
When I came in, I asked you what the hell happened to the – yeah, that one?
Yeah. Okay. So the 4 p.m. Eastern deadline deal, which the NFL said really wasn't important, turns out to be very important. That is why – yeah, it's a thing. It's officially a thing. Zeke is going to play on Sunday. He is eligible. He is available. He will play this Sunday night. That's what all the reports are saying.
Oh, so what you're just saying –
because they were late.
Because they were late. Okay.
So suspension for the moment is going to be games 2 through 7, weeks 2 through 7. Now, as we went to break, we were telling you about where this is from Ezekiel's camp.
Okay.
You know, now we got an attorney involved because.
Oh.
All right. We received arbiter Harold Henderson's decision to uphold Mr. Elliott's suspension of 6 games. We are extremely disappointed with Mr. Henderson's inability to navigate through league politics and follow the evidence, and most importantly, his conscience. The evidence that Mr. Elliott and his team presented on appeal clearly demonstrated that Mr. Elliott was the victim of a conspiracy orchestrated by the National Football League and its officers to keep exonerating evidence from the decision makers, including the advisors and Roger Goodell. The only just decision was to overturn the suspension in its entirety. Mr. Elliott is looking forward to having his day in federal court, where the playing field will be level and the NFL will have to answer for its unfair policies.
Ooh.
That's
the word conspiracy.
Or unfair, excuse me, and unjust practices. Sorry.
They said a conspiracy.
Yeah.
By definition, a secret plan made by two or more people to do something that is harmful or illegal.
Yeah. So here's where we're talking about this in the break. I get Ezekiel's camp. If a known quantity, and I'm forgetting her name, that was in the NFL offices, the only female or the only person that interviewed anybody or interviewed Ezekiel's ex-girlfriend, ex-friend, wherever, however we're connecting her, the only one had suggested that no suspension should occur. Then the league, which some would say, Doug, has every right to do what they said as their own private entity. They can hand down suspensions. Brady, if we remember, kind of challenged whether Roger Goodell could even have the authority. Not
Kia
so much
Roberts.
Yeah, Roberts, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much whether or not Brady was guilty or not of inflating footballs. He said, does this guy have the authority? Officials kind of ruled, yes, he does. But now we're talking about a different set of evidence here and why it falls into a 6-game suspension. So this one could get ugly. But if the courts have already said, yeah, the NFL can basically do what they ever want, why would anybody ever fight that then?
That is the million-dollar question, yeah. I guess, and that is what the Players Association is going to have to take up in the next collective bargaining agreement. I guess in the legal system, you're innocent until proven guilty. In the NFL, you're guilty until proven innocent.
But in that case, didn't they prove it, according to one person from the NFL that's a decision-maker?
And that's where I was going. Yeah. Kia Roberts says, and see, this is the odd part, she's the only person qualified to speak to this. To be honest, the commissioner is not qualified. The lady that is her boss, that Commissioner Goodell hired, didn't speak to the accuser either. So not only did she speak to the accuser, she investigated for 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
And she came back after 13 months and said that this is what I say you guys as a league should do. And I do not look at her, and I'm not saying that I'm not trusting what she says. I think that there's nothing here, and you can't suspend him, and you should move on. And Commissioner Goodell said, okay, 6 games.
Yeah. It fits under our policy. We're going to be strict on anything that falls under this blanket umbrella of domestic abuse. It checks that box, 6 games.
The key is going to be moving forward. Let's fast forward, and let's just say he does the 6 games. Whatever happens, happens. The key is now going to be, do you stay consistent with what you're giving the people? Because that's been the problem. to be honest with you, Jason, is the inability for them to stay consistent. You have a tape recording with the guy who was with the Harding, two games, dropped from 10. Then you have Ray Rice. You have video, two games.
He had four, but
four games.
Yeah.
Now you have this situation, and you just automatically slap six games. But you actually have, from my understanding, because I don't know every single thing, but you have information, text, I'll get into that one in a second. But you have her saying that I'm trying to ruin you. Yeah. And from my understanding, there was also a text that was sent to Ezekiel Elliott while he was on the plane with a picture of her at one of his ex-teammates, Lucky Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Was in her room, and they did the do or whatever,
right,
to kind of make him mad. So it's kind of the woman scorn thing. Does that mean that it didn't happen? And no, it doesn't. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there's actual evidence here saying that she was trying to kind of.
Yeah, but I would just say if I'm the attorneys, I'm okay. Yeah, I get what your league policy is, six games. I have to be guilty of it. You know, if, hey, we get four games no matter what if you fail a drug test. Did I fail, or you heard rumors that did I fail it, or what? I mean,
that's a good point.
You know, there's got to be evidence there, and if Ezekiel feels like he doesn't, I mean, I think this thing is going to drag out for a while now.
And what is real evidence? Is evidence, are we going on the justice system, or are we going on what the NFL deems?
Right.
And that is in
right now it seems what the NFL deems.
Exactly.
And is that the right thing? Well, we're going to get more into this in our final hour, also at 6:15. More college football discussion after a great opening weekend. Phil Hansen, reporter for the College Football News, will join us. We'll do all that and more as we take you up to the A's and Angels at 6:45 here on KHDK.